a little bit today. I want to talk about the resurrection, since that's what we are celebrating. To do that, I want to go into Romans. Now, this is the only time in my life and your life you will ever hear me preach out of this many verses in Romans all at one time, unless we have an all-day affair here. But it will be in Romans chapter 5. We're going to start in chapter 5, verse 18, and we're going to go through chapter 6, verse 14. And we are going to bypass just a huge amount of doctrine that I would love to get into, but we're not going that far. I think we're going to 14. Well, let's read to 14 anyway, whether we're going there or not. All right, chapter 5, starting in verse 18. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, which is Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, which is Christ, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then start in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let's begin in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth, this excitement, Lord, that comes from your word. The thrill that we have knowing that we're now under grace, and we now have life because you have taken your son out of the grave. You have conquered death. Everything that was against us, Lord God, you solved it. Father, there is nothing we could do to solve that, but you solved it. And Father, because of that, your righteousness can reign in our life. And because of that, others can see our good deeds and glorify you. Lord God, let it come back to you. And let us, as Paul said, beg others, be reconciled to God. Let us, as Paul said, urge others to know our Father. Thank you so much. You have given us so much in this life, this true life, this resurrection life. And there is nothing in it that we deserve and everything that we need. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, as we begin, now this is more of a topical, so this is something else you'll probably never ever hear me do again. But I want you to see this. There's two things in here that I need you to see, and that's what his death accomplished and what his resurrection accomplished. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The first thing, what his death accomplished, and that is going to be forgiveness. Starting in verse 18. So then, as through one, and this is really hard. I want you to know how hard this is. Because every word, normally, when I was in Romans, I usually got through at least two verses, didn't I? In a Sunday, maybe. So this is, I can't dig the way I like to, because we would be here literally all day. But it would be really good. It really would. This is good stuff. But we're going to just see the surface. We're going to scratch the surface here. In verse 18 of chapter 5, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. So as through the one man's disobedience, which would be Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, which would be Christ, the many will be made righteous. So we have Christ here who died on the cross. We understand that. We know that from history. We know that from God's word. He died on the cross. And it wasn't because of his sin. It was because of the sin of the world. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, it's that whosoever part. So salvation is made available to the world. Forgiveness is available to the world. Forgiveness is there because of the death of Jesus Christ. What it says here is that through Adam, sin entered into the world. Adam, Eve was deceived when she ate the fruit. Adam was not. He looked at the fruit tree. He looked at her and he said, "I want you. So I'm going to forget what God said. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get you." So he was fully aware of what he did, and he was fully aware of his sin. So Adam sinned, and because of that, the whole human race has gained that sin, that propensity, that fallen nature. But then when Jesus Christ came, he was righteous. And if you look at verse 19, it says, as through the disobedience, the man's disobedience, many became sinners. Through the obedience of the one, the many will become righteous. The obedience is found in Philippians chapter 2, where it says he became obedient even to death, the death of the cross. So Jesus Christ came. He lived a perfect life, and yet he went to the cross. Willingly, it says, willingly. He became obedient and went willingly. So that willing sacrifice is what gave us salvation. Look at verses 20 and 21. Oh, this is so hard. There was so much more in that. Verse 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to see that. As sin reigned in death, because the end of sin is death. Power of sin is the law. But the end of sin is death. That's where sin reigned. But righteousness, or where grace reigned. And the word grace is gift. It's a grace gift, and that grace gift is Jesus Christ. That grace gift reigned in righteousness. Righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how does grace reign? Well, how do we live in righteousness? If you skip ahead now in chapter 6, because the chapters and verses weren't made until about 1200 AD. So I believe that this chapter should never have been separated here, because he goes on and answers the question. By the way, look back in verse 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. The only thing that the law can do is condemn. We say, well, I can live by the law of God. I mean, you got the Ten Commandments. I'm doing pretty well on them. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've already killed him. If you've lusted after someone, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus put the law and made the law hard. Jesus made sin worse. I've quit using the word sinnier. My wife doesn't like that. To make sin sinnier, I still think it makes sense. But he made the law show us how sinful we are. That's what the law does. We can never gain righteousness by living out the law. You know why? because we goof, because we cannot hit a perfect standard. But Christ did. Christ did, and he fulfilled the law. He lived that perfect standard, and he fulfilled every aspect of the law. Therefore, his blood was righteous. And when he shed his blood, it was righteous blood. So let's look at verses 1 through 3. What shall we say then? Because every time we sin, I mean, whenever we sin, God gives a lot of grace. He said that back in verse 20. So shouldn't we just sin a lot? Because he gives a lot more grace. I mean, we want God's grace. Do you not want God's grace? Sin. And then you get God's grace. I mean, that's, you know what that is? That's the flesh thinking. The flesh thinking says, you know what? I can sin, and God will give more grace, so why not just live in sin so that God can give me all sorts of grace? He has to. He has to. Because we do sin. Because we have sinned. He's already given us the grace of his Son. But that's the flesh thinking, and he answers this question. Look what he says. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? And you know what? The next verse, verse 2, and this is why I hate flying over this. Verse 2 is meganoita. Meganoita. Me is an absolute no, and ganoita is it can never be. No, it can never be. It can never. That's completely out of the question. Should we just go on sinning and living in sin because God's pouring out grace? Absolutely not. And here's why. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? This is a spiritual baptism. So how does all this work? The question, how does it work? How do we not live in sin? How do we not live in it? Well, we've been baptized into Christ Jesus. Into what aspect of Christ Jesus? This is found in Corinthians. It's found in 1 Corinthians. But it happens at salvation. Jesus' death paid the price for all of our sins. And that's called propitiation. It means satisfaction. It's that big two-bit word that the high school class can never hear when I say it on Sunday morning. I'll say propitiation two or three times, and then we'll go home and say, well, you didn't say that word. But that means satisfaction. That means that God was satisfied with the blood of Christ. So, what was he satisfied with? He was satisfied that my sin is paid for, that your sin is paid for. The price of sin is death. The price, get that. The price of sin is death. Have any of you sinned? I have. And that price, the price that is paid for that is death. And that's why Christ died. So his death was for our forgiveness. Our forgiveness could not happen without his death. And that's why he died. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, it says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. And that correlates very good with verse 21 of chapter 5. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life. Now we'll touch on that a little later. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and then he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. In other words, God's word said this would happen, and it's happened. Christ died because of our sins. Now, I know some of you think, well, this is pretty basic. Yes, it is basic. It is extremely, but is it extremely important that we understand what he died for and what we have because of his death? We have forgiveness. Forgiveness for all, but not all will accept it. Forgiveness is for all, but not all will accept it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live, those who live, is different from those who died, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Catch that? If he is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now look. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ when he was on the cross, reconciling the world to himself. There's no one in the world who cannot have salvation. Catch that? Reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He's offering forgiveness to the world. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. In other words, when we have trusted Christ, God makes his appeal through us to others. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. So we have the opportunity to show others their forgiveness. To show others that they have forgiveness. And when they accept that forgiveness, what we're going to see is they get life. They get new life. So God has died, said Christ has died for the world. But the world has not reconciled God to themselves. God has reconciled the world to himself. The world has not reconciled God to themselves. That's why we are ambassadors. We beg others, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Accept this forgiveness. According to Romans chapter 4, believe. Believe. According to Romans chapter 5, receive lambano. So we have pisteo and we have lambano. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then receive him. We have the whole aspect of salvation here in the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So we're going to go on. What we're going to look at now, the forgiveness. Forgiveness happened at Christ fulfilling the law. Oh, look at the last verse here. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might have the opportunity. That's in the subjunctive mode. We have the opportunity of becoming the righteousness of God in him. See, God made it possible. God made it possible through the death of Jesus Christ. He offers forgiveness, total forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. There's no one in the world who can say, you know what, I've sinned too much. God's grace is greater than the law. The law says, yes, you have sinned too much. Yes, if you've sinned once, you've sinned way too much. And you're condemned. But God's grace says, you know what, I'm pouring out grace. I'm pouring out the blood of my son Christ to completely annihilate that sin. Forgiveness is here and it is wholly offered to you. Completely offered to you. And when we've accepted that, when we've received that lambano, when we've grabbed hold and taken that, then what he says is, now beg others. We beg of others, be reconciled to God. Reconcile God's love to yourself. So forgiveness is from the death of Christ. So what did the resurrection accomplish? I mean, why have the resurrection? Why have new life? Look at verses 4 through 7. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. I want you to see that. As Christ was raised from the dead, now we can walk in that newness of life. We can walk in life. Keep going. Verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, forgiven, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Freed from the effect of sin. Freed from the mastery of sin. In fact, I think it says that later. Right in verse 9. Death no longer is master over him. Sin is no longer the master. Because we have died to sin. And that's why he says in verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? So the question isn't, do we still sin? Because yes, We do still sin here on this earth. The question is sin the master still? Because before we have salvation, the only thing we can do is sin. You say, well, people do a lot of good things. Yes, but where's the heart behind it? Is it to serve God or is it to serve self? But the only thing we can, because it's never a perfect mark. And yet he says here in verse 4, we've been baptized into death, Christ's death. In other words, we have been immersed into that. So that as Christ was raised from the dead, because he's raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Now we can live. So before we were dying, now we are living. We have the opportunity to yield to him because of the indwelling Holy Spirit of life. And that life is abundant life. It's eternal life. It's true life. If you look at verse 5 real quick, it says, for if we have become united with him, he's talking to Christians. He says, since we have become united to him, since we have forgiveness, we're united to him in forgiveness, then we also get life. Sin isn't the master anymore. The law doesn't condemn us anymore because Christ fulfilled the law. Now, go on to verse 8. I hate flying through here. I hate it. There's so much there. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And that's ongoing. That's ongoing. And that's why our life, our eternal life, our spiritual life is ongoing, our true life. Look at verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Dead to sin once and for all, and alive to Christ Jesus. So through his death, we gained forgiveness. Through his life, or through his resurrection, we gained life. You could not ever yield to Christ and live for Jesus Christ without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You could not ever live to God. Living to God means dependent on God, following him, following his word, his will. Look at verse 11. He says, consider, even so, consider yourself. The word consider, I got to get into this a little bit. The word consider is legizomai, word we get logical from. He says, logically put it through your head in the sequence that comes out this way. Stick that all in your head, form a logical conclusion that yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus because he was resurrected. Because he was raised from the grave. Because he conquered death. So what does all that mean? What does it mean? Look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. And there's your command. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That goes right back to verse 1. Right back to verse 1 where it says, shall we continue in sin? So grace can increase and make it even funner? Because grace is just coming down because we just keep sinning. He says in verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you obey its lust. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Instead of following our sinful lusts, we can now follow God because of the resurrection. God's grace in the resurrection is now alive in us, is now in charge. The resurrection is all about God's grace. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Now catch that. He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you know where your hope comes from? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he was resurrected, you can now have hope. And that hope isn't a hope that is, I hope it doesn't rain today. It's not that kind of hope. Or I hope it does snow today. It's not that. I probably won't get that one, will I? But it's not that kind of hope. It's not a hope that's that. It's an absolute certainty. And the absolute certainty we have in God is that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that means something to us. We can now live according to God's desire and God's word and God's heart. Before, we were living to our heart because we were steeped in sin, because sin was master over us, and then Christ died and offered forgiveness. Do you know if Christ died and he offered forgiveness, and he did, offers forgiveness to the world, he's forgiven every sin, you know what? We would die forgiven people and stay dead. That's what would have happened. We would have been forgiven and died. But God raised him from the dead, and because he raised him from the dead, he offers us life. So instead of being forgiven and die, we can now be forgiven and live. And live according to God, and live according to his will. Live according to his way. In fact, he says that several times through here, but in verse 21, he says, even so sin reigned through death, even so grace would reign through what? Righteousness. Righteousness. And he goes on in verse 11, says, so consider yourself be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you obey its lust. Do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin, because sin's not in charge anymore. We're forgiven. And we have life. We're not just forgiven, we have life. Salvation is a package of forgiveness and life. So we have life. We have God's life in us. Our hope is founded in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we would die forgiven, but we would still die. Still not able to serve God. Still be following sin, but forgiven. We would have no power over sin, even though we're forgiven. But now we have power over sin because of the resurrection. It's all about life. Living for him, living in him, living about him. We will be with him in glory also. But you know, this resurrection is what separates us from every other religion in the world. Our God didn't die and stay in the grave. Our God rose again. Our God lives. Got an email from Holly Friesen. Yeah, she serves in the Ukraine. She says, you know, it's so neat there, because during Easter, for the week of Easter, the Christians, all of the Christians that meet together, they walk in and they greet each other with, he is risen. And the other says, he is risen indeed. That's their greeting. And you know, that was, it's so neat to be reminded again that Jesus is risen. But it's, what's amazing is what happened when he was resurrected. Because it's our Savior is a living Savior, and death couldn't hold him. And we have the absolute assurance of hope because of that resurrection. And we're going to have a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to have a new body that's completely different, just like the kernel of that stalky thing. Corn. There you go. Russ would be mad at me. Yeah, thank you. The kernel of corn. You know, you put it in the ground, it dies, and it makes a big stalk of corn. And an ear of corn stalk. Corn stalk. But an ear of corn. Thank you. I'm getting there. All right? But it's completely different. It doesn't look like this little kernel anymore. It looks completely different. And we cut the 1 Corinthians 15, that's what it says. Our mortality is going to become immortality. So this body, when it dies and we get our new body, it's going to be completely different. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You know, we look at heaven like we look through a glass dark. We don't really understand it. We don't really catch it all. But it's going to happen because God said it would happen. We can have newness of life here. We live in newness of life when we are saved, when we believe and receive that gift, that free grace gift of God. And he wants the world to have it. He said, whosoever will. He wants the whole world to have that. We can deny ungodliness, live righteously in this life because of the resurrection. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God, the one that appeared to all men, that brings salvation. It says that grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. What was the grace of God? His death, his resurrection. It's unmerited favor. It's favor given from God that I don't deserve. But that grace of God teaches me how to live in this world. You know what? That's what it's talking about all through here. All through here it says, because of the death of Christ, we can deny sin. Because of the grace of God, we can live in righteousness. We can live out our life so that others can see what God is doing in us. So, is what we celebrate today at Easter really important? No. It is vital. It is vitally important. The foundation of our faith. That's why it's so attacked. That's why people say, well, Christ didn't really live. Well, God, he didn't really come to earth. Now, that was a long time ago. The Bible's an old book. Oh, you know, these guys, some of them are probably just having a bad day or something. Right? The Bible is attacked. Jesus Christ is attacked. That's why the Pharisees paid the guards. Said, hey, we'll keep you alive. We'll pay you. Just don't tell anybody that he's gone. That would be havoc. That would be horrible because people would think that he actually rose from the dead. That's why he appeared to so many people, to prove it. That's why it's attacked so much, because it is vital to our faith. It's the foundation of our faith, and that's why it's so necessary. You know, if you have never trusted Christ, if you don't have that life, you have forgiveness. God has forgiven the sins of this world. But that's not going to help you unless you are reconciled to him. He's reconciled the world to himself, but people, us, we haven't reconciled God to us. Because we want to be God. We want to live our own way. Salvation is simply turning it over to God. Father, your sacrifice in Jesus Christ was what paid for my sins. Believing, it's pisteo, it's the word in Romans chapter 4. It talks about Abraham and it says that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We believe in what he has done for us, but we don't believe like just make a mental assent. Oh yeah, well Jesus, yeah, he probably came and died. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, well, I believe in God. He's there somewhere, I think. I don't know. He's never slapped me or anything that I know of. That's not it. Believing also involves receiving in chapter 5 of Romans. To accept, to grasp, to hold, to take hold of. Giving our life for his. Letting him be the master of our life instead of us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. That's God's word, promises. So if you have never trusted in Christ, if you haven't grab that salvation, if you haven't internalized it. Let's go with that. I'm not even sure how to put it, today's words. Because it's God's work in us. But he wants us to have that. But as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God's reconciled the world to himself, but I'm begging you, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Accept that truth. If you have trusted in Christ, if you know you have trusted in him, then our life comes from his life. Our hope comes from his life, his resurrection. Not his death on the cross, his resurrection. Our forgiveness comes from his death. That's part of, but our life comes from the resurrection. We had to have that. So celebrate today your true life. Because you know what? Christ has risen. Praise the Lord. Christ has risen, and He is my Savior, and I'm so glad He's risen. Or I could never, ever, ever have life. True life, abundant life, free life. The life God intended man to have. The life He put in Adam before Adam said, I want to go my own way. He puts that life into us, back into us, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We have hope. We have a steadfast assurance that what He says is true because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That's the only way that we can look in verse 13. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So my members, your members of your body are instruments of righteousness. Do we live perfectly? No. Can God live His life through us now as Christians? Yes, He can. And He can show others His love through us, unworthy, cracked pots. He does it. Isn't that cool? God can use us like we can ever do anything. Right? But God can still use us. God loves you. And He raised Jesus Christ from the dead for us. Let's close in prayer.